This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Today's episode is brought to you by Cameo. If your organization is looking to adopt Chromebooks, but you need to give your people seamless access to all their apps, including Windows apps, Cameo is the simplest and most secure and most cost-effective way to deliver all the apps your people need to be productive on Chrome OS. Cameo is a Chrome Enterprise recommended virtualization solution and is deeply integrated with Chrome OS and the Google Admin console, making it easy for you to push any app as a PWA to your Chromebooks. And now you can take advantage of a special Chrome OS and Cameo bundle that makes it easier than ever to test. If you're interested, you can head over to cameo.com/unbox. That's cameyo.com/unbox, or click the link down in the show notes. This episode is brought to you by the official coffee of the Chromecast podcast, Fresh Roasted Coffee, who we've partnered with to make a special edition Chrome Unboxed anniversary blend. Here at Chrome Unboxed, we're not just nerdy about Chromebooks, we're also coffee snobs. And look, we wasted a lot of time hand roasting coffee before we found Fresh Roasted Coffee, and we haven't looked back since. This coffee is roasted fresh to order, immediately packaged, nitrogen flushed, and shipped directly to your door. And although we can't officially say that this Chrome Unboxed edition tastes any better than the normal anniversary blend, that is the word around town. But don't just take our word for it. Pick up a bag for yourself and let us know what you think. You can grab a bag over at chromeunboxed.com/coffee. Welcome to the Chromecast, the official podcast from Chrome Unboxed, where we unpack everything from hardware to software in the world of Chrome and Chrome OS so that you can be more informed on all the latest updates, changes, and devices. What's up, everyone, and welcome back to yet another episode. What are you looking at? You look confused. Paul. Oh, yeah, we forgot.
There's no Paul. There's no Dan. We're going.
Yep, there we go. Replace him. Replace him. Go? He's been replaced.
What is this?
This is a new
Patrio
plan.
Blend. What is this called?
He's fake.
Monkey grass.
Is it monkey grass?
It looks like monkey grass. No, that's not
sure.
I mean, maybe. It looks like monkey grass.
That's bluey bluegrass.
Bluey.
Bluey.
Let's talk about Bluey.
Yeah.
I watched my first episode.
Some good podcasts about Bluey, I'll tell you what.
Yeah, I watched my first episode.
That's what people tuned
in for. My wife
apparently
is on board with Bluey, and my kids are like, yeah, we kind of like Bluey. And my daughter, who's 12, is like, I'd watch Bluey. Yeah. I'm like,
what?
Why don't we start
you,
watching some
your
Bluey?
Wife and your daughter will end up watching it way more than your son does.
Landon will be like,
what is this?
It's like, it's really good for kids. It's great for adults. Like, you get
and they're
so
dogs.
Yeah,
this is just riveting content here, guys. Is.
Bluey, baby.
What's up, everyone? I'm Joe.
You haven't introduced anybody yet.
I'm Joe. This is Gabriel.
Hi, how's it going?
And Roberto is here as well.
Yes, in lieu of Dan and Paul.
Yeah, we just forgot.
Joe just retired him.
My brain is not working, and so here we are. We're rolling. We're doing it. Let's talk
it's
about
happening.
Why Robbie's going to buy a Tesla. Let's get that out of the way.
Just get it out of the way.
Because he's going to weave it in somehow if we don't just talk about it now.
I give him... what is today?
I think
I'd
Monday.
I'd say end of the
gonna,
month.
He's going to have
we're,
one
we're
ordered.
Looking, we're looking
yeah,
at
it.
It
all depends on the Honda situation.
Yeah. So, yeah, that... Yeah. Selling my current car obviously will inform that quite a bit. If I get some deals on that, then I'll move even faster.
Check. I may have already sold it.
I'm moving pretty quick already.
We went to Vegas. We got in the Vegas loop. Rode in
that was a Model
an X. And Robbie's hooked.
We rode in a 3 in one of our
Ubers.
Rides. One of our rides. Because I remember you and I sat in the back.
Yep. And we were like, oh, yeah, this is
because we rode
because they always make me sit in the front with the driver. And I feel
yeah. Well, we rode the Model Y on a long, pretty long trip in California.
That was really nice.
We were away from the
that
airport.
One time he accelerated, he was like trying to maybe take the one exit. Or
almost giggled.
He was on the on-ramp. I literally got giddy.
All I could think was, engage the slingshot.
Yeah, that's what it felt like.
Gosh. And it didn't matter how fast you're going. You just auto, you get the speed there for you anytime you need it. But it was a combination of that and why, like, having all that room and stuff. I'll say this about the Model Y. I like the idea of it because there's a little more headroom and a little more space. I think the vehicle itself looks a tad bit derpy. It's okay.
Yeah.
But like,
can't
I feel
decide
like,
if it's a sedan or a crossover or an
SUV.
Like
my vehicle is a crossover and I love the way it looks. Yeah, I like the way it sits and everything. The Y just, it looks like a car with an expanded forehead kind of thing. It just looks, it's not my favorite looking vehicle, but functionally I was like, well, I guess that would,
it's nice
that would probably be
room.
the right thing for me to do.
But you don't have
sat in that Model 3. I was like,
yeah,
this is still really roomy.
Room.
Because there's so many elements in a Tesla you don't need of a regular car that go away.
Right.
Like a flat floorboard in the back seat it's different. Like you're like, oh, this is like just flat across here. Like there's no hump and there's not stuff in the middle because there's not a big drivetrain going up and down the center of the car. So, we sat in the back and I was super comfortable in the back. And if I'm comfortable in the back seat of a car, there's plenty of room in that car.
Yeah.
And so you got the trunk and the frunk and all that stuff. And you know, the minimalist panel with just the thing in the center. And I don't know. It's the first time I've gotten in a Model 3.
See, that's my only big dislike. And it's not just electric vehicles. It's just the trend in general. I don't care for that. I understand it serves a grand purpose and you need it. You know, Ford came out with the MyTouch a few years ago, which is about this big. It's embedded in the dashboard, but now everything's moved. I think the F-150s have like a huge panel up from the dashboard. I don't like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't.
It's a different, yeah. I mean, it's it,
completely
there's,
different
there's,
concept.
Yeah. And there's certain things like you'll have to get used to of not having physical buttons for basically anything. I mean, obviously you have the controls on the steering wheel.
Before we start saying all this, I don't want anyone listening to this thinking like, oh, big baller gonna go buy a Tesla. I've been looking at Teslas for a long time and wanted to buy one, but I've always looked at the price and just like, I just, for what we make as our salary and stuff for running Chrome Unbox, just not exactly realistic. I'm not gonna go spend that much money and I'm not going to buy a Model X or like a Model S Plaid and spend $100,000. That's crazy. Like, to me, that just sounds absolutely insane. And that's not a dig to anybody who's gone and bought one. Like, if you got that kind of money, have fun.
Yeah,
go for
absolutely.
It. I just don't. And I'm not going to spend that much money on a vehicle. I'm not really a car guy, but I'm a tech guy. And Tesla's, scratch that itch for me and make me really interested in those cars. And so, just recently, I guess this last week, they've dropped the price of the Model 3 and the Model Y. So seeing it with the Model Y got me, is what got me looking into what the price drop was. And so I want to say they came off $7,000, I think, on the Model 3, which then put them back in the space where I don't know what the limitation was with the federal credit or if it's just a new fit. I don't know.
Yeah.
The ones we were reading yesterday are new. They started January 1.
I think those are all new.
And so I don't
because for a while the credits went away.
Yeah. I don't think the price drop made it eligible. I think maybe it did for some of the trim levels. Like it's eligible under a certain amount. Like you can't go buy a super expensive one and get the credit for some reason.
Yeah, because like the Mach-E GT, it would not qualify.
Because I guess they're saying, if you have the money to go do that, you don't need a tax credit. Maybe is that's how that's working.
Perhaps.
I
don't know.
Because it says on Tesla's thing, the limit for your trim level has to be like 55,000, I think.
Yeah.
Both.
It'd be interesting to dig into and see why.
There's something it, and that's got to be what it is, I would think. So, so the trim that I'm looking at, which is basically the basic setup, I'm not getting any of the extra stuff.
Which is still very nice vehicle. It's just their entry.
Yeah, and like the two big add-ons, there's the auto navigate or the enhanced navigate or enhanced autopilot.
Yeah.
And then like the full autopilot.
Self-driving.
After watching MKBHD's video on the full self-driving, not interested at all right now. Yeah. Did you see lately an engineer for Tesla came out, he doesn't work there anymore, and said that when they initially showed that demo off, it was a bit staged. Not like completely staged.
That makes sense.
And so it's just not ready for prime time, and I'm not in any way near ready to just take my hands off the wheel and let a car start driving for me. Now the
highway or like going down a road and letting it do its thing
still makes
but
me,
it's
makes me anxious even thinking about it right now.
My girlfriend's new Hyundai has
like the lane assist.
Yeah, so like driving down to Nashville, you can basically take your hands off the wheel. I mean, I still
I think I need to look into this. So the Teslas do something out of the box. I don't know what amount it is. I think the lane assist is there.
Yeah, because that's kind of become standard.
It'll have
a lot of
lane change, and you can like manually tell it, I want to change lanes and do that, I think, is what it'll do. The auto lane change is like kind of take my hands off, and if you approach a vehicle, it's going to just go ahead and do its thing. That's like $6,000 to get that, and the summon and the auto park, which, gonna be honest, that would be pretty sweet. I'd kind of like that. I'd love, like, if it's a tight spot, everybody get out of the car and hit the button, let it park itself.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then, you know,
it's got the cameras
at the door, hit the button, and you know, let it come get me. Some of those things would be kind of cool, but from what I understand, that stuff you can add later. It's a software update, basically. And so right now, that's not really my whole reasoning for getting into this. I'm just intrigued by Teslas. And so with that price drop, with the $7,500 credit, and with the market value of my current vehicle that's been paid off for a year now, it all lines up for me to go and get a loan on a vehicle that I've been wanting for a long time. That's going to be pretty close to the loan I had on the vehicle I just had, which is a pretty standard crossover SUV little type thing. And so... As soon as I saw that and did the math, I was like, huh.
Yeah.
Like, I can do this now? Like, I can actually do it. Like, I've always told, like, Joe and I have talked about Teslas a lot, and I'm like, I'm not going to do this until it's reasonable, until it's a reasonable thing. But the minute it's reasonable, I'm doing it. And all of a sudden, I looked at them dollars, and I was like...
The price drop made them very...
It's reasonable.
Very intriguing.
And from what I understand, that's only going to last for a couple months. It's the plan for right now. So, like, I think they're trying to do it to kind of just juice up the stock prices a little bit, get some inventory moving out the door.
Got a fun Twitter.
That's right.
So I'm kind of in that.
But
I have to go fast and move fast, which is kind of my lane. I like that. So
hey,
that's just
feeding. I'm sure you can return it if something goes wrong.
Probably. I'm sure it's feeding that whole thing in me. And so the other part of that is, you know, obviously I've got to clear this kind of stuff with my wife, you know, and
we just air it out on the podcast first.
Well, no, her and I have talked quite a bit about it already.
She listens, right?
She's kind of like, I think she's into it.
Yeah.
She's always kind of been into the idea of it. And so as soon as I told her about it yesterday, well, 2 days ago, she was like, she said, you know that meme that I'm not going to do it.
I'm not going to do it.
I did it.
Yeah.
She's off today, right?
Yeah.
You know what she's doing right now?
Shopping.
Yes. She's looking up trade values on her car. It's going to be
Tesla family.
Yeah, she loves
her
car.
Her car is not. It just looks really nice. It
does. I still
get her the X with the falcon wings.
Yeah. There you go.
Perfect. She needs a Model S. You know? That's what she would want, though. She's like, I want a bigger car with more seating and stuff. I'm like, well,
get her a Leaf and be like, here, honey, I got you an electric car too. Okay.
Here's yours.
But yeah, we talked again about it yesterday. She came in and picked the dog up, and you know, I was telling her a little bit about what I found, and then last night she brought it up. She's like, hey, did you, you know, do any more research on the Tesla? And I was
hooked.
I don't know what else I was supposed to do, but I mean,
buy it.
I'm kind of there already, and so she was looking, asking where we could test drive.
That's awesome.
And asking where we could maybe pick one up, and all this kind of stuff. And so obviously for us, it's 2 hours any direction, you know, Indianapolis, Cincinnati, Nashville. So
head on down to Nashville. Come on.
So, well, I mean, that's the talk.
Just depends on what
they looked at her calendar, and we've looked at next Friday.
Yeah.
But that was more like, let's go test drive and talk to somebody.
Right.
If they don't have the inventory of the one I want, then it's like, I don't really want to go that far out of my way when they can just bring the car to me.
Absolutely. Yeah. The delivery fee is, I don't know if under a certain mileage, I think it's pretty affordable to get them just delivered.
Yeah. And even if they delivered it to Nashville or whatever, that's fine.
I'll get it there. Yeah.
I'll go pick it up there. It's fine. But, you know, I don't want to just drive to Nashville and test drive it and then be like, well, y'all don't have what I want. I'm still going to have to order it online. Like, you know, if I'm going to order it online, I'll just do it. I'll do it here. So,
and then you're going to have a dealership hounding you every day of your life.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. We went and sat in one at a Tesla dealership and
they were like,
talked to them for a little bit, and they were like, okay,
cool.
See ya.
Yeah.
Where was that?
In Nashville.
No, we went to one. Was that California?
That was in New York City.
It was in New York?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. Brooklyn area. It's in Manhattan.
Yeah, we didn't talk to anybody.
Was first coming out.
Yeah. We just went in and sat in it. And
the one in Nashville was is kind of weird. It's in a very strange spot. But anyway, yeah, I got one order, a rental one through Turo.
Yeah, which is cool. And I think that's like
It's all black, and it's got a lot of upgrades.
Yeah, the Turo website is interesting, and I think that's a great way if you're interested in something like this.
I love it.
You can just go rent it and spend.
You got a lot of electric vehicles.
Yeah, spend a little bit, and you get to test drive.
Like we priced one before we went to Florida last year. It would have been we rented a brand new 4Runner Limited SUV, which was awesome. I mean, I love driving that car. You would think an SUV like that would be a little rough, but on the highway, but it was so awesome. Yeah, I think it was only going to be like 100 or 200 more to rent that white one that we saw in Indiana, but it wasn't available.
I've got this thing, and we're going to pick it up today, and they're going to drop it off at Topgolf.
We're going to do a little cruise around St. Matthews.
Yeah,
that's going to happen for sure.
A little bit of that, and so I'm going to test drive it for a couple of days, and really make sure that this is something that is going to be workable for us. It's going to be a good fit, and if it is, it really isn't going to cost much more than the last car I bought.
Yeah,
which is very pretty
cool.
Awesome.
Yeah, very cool. We've talked about some content. Stay tuned for that. We'll figure it out. I love the idea of just some very like this whole idea. Even with Marquez doing autofocus as its own channel and filming everything on phones, he's always said, hey, if you want to get going, like you can do a channel with just your phone. And I think doing short content and doing maybe some longer videos, but filming them on the phone and not making it this big production, because like obviously I love what we do with Chrome and Box, and we have such a cool aesthetic and we produce such high quality content, but there's just something so nice about making shorts and about maybe just going and filming a video about the Tesla with a phone.
Why are we not filming this? Seriously, I should have just filmed that entire thing.
Yeah. So stay tuned. I don't know. I think there's some interesting things we could do there. Today's episode is brought to you by Cameo. If your organization is looking to adopt Chromebooks, but you need to give your people seamless access to all their apps, including Windows apps, Cameo is the simplest and most secure and most cost-effective way to deliver all the apps your people need to be productive on Chrome OS. Cameo is a Chrome Enterprise recommended virtualization solution and is deeply integrated with Chrome OS and the Google Admin Console, making it easy for you to push any app as a PWA to your Chromebooks. And now you can take advantage of a special Chrome OS and Cameo bundle that makes it easier than ever to test. If you're interested, you can head over to cameo.com/unboxed. That's cameo.com/unboxed, or click the link down in the show notes. So
they're going to let me put Flex on Robbie's car. It's going to be great.
We're going to figure out a way to put Chrome OS on it.
Web OS.
Yeah.
I wonder, their little computer that's in there. I don't know.
People load stuff.
There's so much stuff I have to learn.
Yeah. I mean, if it's partitionable, then possibly I would not mess with trying to install something on there unless there was dedicated space to
it. Is it their own web browser? I know it's got a browser on it.
No idea. These are all great things for some content. Because there's stuff that I'm curious about.
Right. That people that are curious about Teslas and about electric cars in general, but that you just want these like little snippets of information, and it's like I don't want to watch a whole review,
right? And also like Car and Driver, as much as I love Car and Driver or Top Gear, whoever,
right?
Like those can get pretty in the nitty gritty
about
and,
cars,
right?
And like for me, I don't care that
like
much
the
about cars.
Stuff is
it
really interesting?
Does it get me from point A to point B? And is it it's a car. I don't care that much about it. I'm more about the utility of the car. Like, what can it do for me? Like, what are some cool things it can do? And this thing's going to be chock full of cool things it can do. So it's more like a tech gadget that also gets me from point A to point B, which I'm really, really interested in.
Stay tuned.
So,
content coming. We're going to figure it out.
I'm going to do some shorts.
We're just going to film some stuff today. Why not? Yeah. Okay. On to some news.
It's out of
the
way.
Week.
It's out of my system.
On to some news from the week. We've got a few minutes here. Let's talk about Stadia officially being done, and what you can do with your old controllers that are laying around.
I'm gonna look.
Laying around. I don't know.
I can never remember which one it is.
That you have lying around or are laying around.
They did. So yesterday afternoon, it was still live. Today, and it is...
it's shut off.
Landing page says, thank you for playing with us. Stadia was shut down on January 18th. Mm-hmm. And then at the below that, they have play wirelessly with Bluetooth, which is what we discussed this week. So
yeah, I mean, that's not new. Like, the Stadia's demise is not new. No,
it's just official.
It was just, you know, yesterday it technically happened. And, you know... You can say what you want about it. You can talk about, you know, Google graveyard, all that kind of stuff. But, you know, I feel like they've done their due diligence by getting refunds back to people for games that were purchased, by unlocking these controllers so they are usable. Played a match of Fortnite last night with one. And making that Chromebook process. Yeah. And making that process really straightforward. Like, they did the work to make sure that they could issue a firmware update, because these controllers clearly are kind of smart. I mean, they had they were able to connect to Wi-Fi and do all that stuff before, so they've got some silicon inside. They can manipulate some stuff. So the fact that they're able to, like, issue this update and do it all over the web,
which is dope.
Yeah, and that's like The Verge just published just a few hours ago how Google, that's the way you should shut down a service. Yeah. Not just walk away. They've done everything, honestly, everything that they could to, you know, make up the service being shut down. But the Bluetooth, the controllers, obviously the whole landfill situation and the waste and all that, we don't want all this plastic and everything going into landfills. But my thing was, it is my favorite controller.
It's a very comfortable controller. Yeah,
I have the Atari VCS controller. I have a couple Bluetooth controllers. I have the Pro controllers for Switch. Yeah,
so the Switch Pro controllers,
they're dope. Really nice.
It's really good.
But I love the Stadia controller, and I have three of them. And I was like, man, I really wish I could use it. I still haven't been able to get to work on my Switch, but to be able to fire up GeForce Now and just play something
with it.
It's
crazy that the Switch won't see it. I don't understand that.
And maybe there's a different combination of buttons, because
regular pairing is just Y and
Stadia. And the Stadia button. But the Switch wants you to press these two buttons.
For it to link or whatever.
I don't know. I'm going to keep playing with it, because I would love to be able to use those with the Switch.
I feel like there was something else I had to, because I paired some random Bluetooth controller to the Switch. I don't remember why I even did that. Honestly,
I tried the VCS controller too, and it would not.
Yeah, there was something else.
You would think the Switch would just see it, but it doesn't.
Yeah, there's. I remember this now. There is some other step. I had to look it up and do something else with the Switch. Right. So it probably will work.
Man, I hope so. To be able to use those, my kids have gotten into Castle Crashers, which I didn't realize is like a 20-year-old game.
Wow.
That was released on. It used to be just available on Xbox through their store. It's made by Behemoth Games, but it's on Switch. And if you don't have it, you should get it. It doesn't look dated.
I've asked you this before. Is it on Xboxes, the Xbox Cloud Gaming
thing? I've never seen it, because I looked for it a couple of years ago. We were in the office one day, and something brought it to mind, and I started looking for it and could not find it anywhere.
What's it? Castle
Crashers? Castle Crashers. But it's on Switch. I bought it because I'm like, and it is exactly what it was on Xbox. You can play up to four players local, and my kids love it. It's a level up 2D scroll button mashing, and it's just, to be able to use the Stadia controllers with that, I'm just like, that will be the only game I play.
Yeah. So what is, while he's looking that up, what's the website, and how can people get these controllers switched over to
Bluetooth? Yeah, so they've opened this up until the end of this year, pretty much. So if you have a Stadia controller, you have till the end of the year to unlock it and enable Bluetooth mode. It's just stadia.google.com/controller. Once you get to that screen, all you need is a internet connection and a USB-C cable. You plug it in, and then it walks you through the steps. It unlocks it. It downloads the Bluetooth update. It installs it. And then hopefully, we have noticed some lag on the Chromecast. Did you try on the NVIDIA, the Shield?
On the actual box, no. Yeah,
we need to try that. What on Chromebook, was it okay?
Chromebook's great.
Okay, so
it's great there. And to be fair, on the Chromecast with Google TV, the Xbox controller kind of sucks.
It's not
quite as bad as the Stadia one, but it's pretty darn close. So there's something up. My guess is that Chromecast probably only like works with certain like Bluetooth's a mess anyway.
So and that's another thing. Hopefully we have a new Chromecast coming soon, and I can't imagine Google puts out another one that doesn't have more storage and a newer processor and maybe some more RAM. And if they've beefed up the Bluetooth and everything, maybe they I would love to see Google make something more along the lines of the Shield, not a Shield, something just
give it
in
some
between
power.
The Chromecast we have and the Shield.
Yeah.
And to be able to say, hey, you can play, because they're pushing GeForce Now super hard on Chromebooks, play GeForce Now on your Chromecast, use your Stadia controllers, use whatever controllers you want. But on Chromebook, it's, as Robbie said, it's really good.
And we
have hope that they are going to maybe roll out some more updates before the end of the year.
Yeah, I mean, it says on that landing page, it says, you know, use this portal to get the firmware, download, install, blah, blah, but also for future updates through 2023.
Yeah.
So my guess is they'll issue at least a couple.
It wouldn't take long for them to get a tweak to work well. So,
But some of that could just be on the Chromecast with Google TV being finicky with what type of Bluetooth it wants.
Because
interestingly enough, the older Shield controller that came with the Shield, like the original box Shield TV, works great with the Chromecast. And so, but it's probably an older Bluetooth spec, and so
it lines up better with what's in the Chromecast. Yeah,
and it's got to be multiple years old. Like, probably not a Bluetooth 5. No, it wouldn't be.
Is
Bluetooth
the 4K Chromecast? Is it Bluetooth 5?
See, that's the thing. I don't know.
The new one is. We might want it.
The HD one.
Yeah.
We should try. We need to. It takes a while to.
Yeah,
jump
there's
in,
a lot of testing we need to do here. Needless to say, your $80 controller is no longer a paperweight, and you've got options. And you can obviously still tether it and use it that way with a USB cable and all that stuff. So
And I would say, like, if you're looking for, like, if you want to use it with GeForce Now as a thing, like, use a Chromebook. Or a Windows device, or a web browser, a modern web browser, and hook it up to your television.
I'm assuming it should work with the Xbox Game Cloud.
Oh, yeah.
I would think.
Yeah,
so,
it just all passes through Bluetooth on the Chromebook. And
HDMI to your TV.
It pairs up super fast on a Chromebook. Like, I put it in Perry mode, found it, click it, connected. You know, it's like they clearly made sure that all those things were lined up, and it works great. And it's a great controller. So it's that's kind of a win-win. It's not just that it works. It's great that it works because it's such a nice piece of hardware.
Yeah, and that's what I want. We may do the Chromebook thing because my kids have gotten into GeForce now because my daughter, out of nowhere 2 weeks ago, my kids got really into Stadia after Christmas when they realized.
Of course.
Well, they saw all these games in the Nintendo eShop and it's like, oh, we've got that on Stadia. You know, they Just Dance, and I had to dig out a phone so they could play that and this and that, whatever. Well, they've come to realize that most of those pro games that I had are on GeForce Now. Okay. And my daughter started playing Farming Simulator.
Really?
I don't know.
Are you going to get her
planting corn?
Doesn't Logitech make the tractor $400 stuff?
Yeah, it's insane. But she realized that if she, you know, plants some wheat and does all this stuff, she can sell that and buy pigs.
What
and
was that? What was the Facebook game?
Farm.
That everybody everybody was playing that game for the longest time.
Contrarian, baby.
I never played it, ever.
So. Okay, well.
I'm like, everyone's doing it?
Not
absolutely.
Not me.
Well,
I am not getting near that.
Not on purpose. I swear to God, it's not.
Sure.
It's not.
So there you have it. Stadia is officially done. And if you have a Stadia controller, you can turn it into a Bluetooth controller, and it's pretty dope.
Yep.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break for an ad. We're going to come back and talk about some other GeForce Now stuff. Okay, be right back. This podcast is brought to you by NordVPN. We recommend the service, and we use NordVPN because they keep your browsing secure and private on any device. Whether you're using a Chromebook, an Android device, a Mac, an iPhone, or a Windows device, NordVPN is going to protect your browsing. They also have 24/7 customer support in case you ever have any issues, and they offer a risk-free 30-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to learn more and maybe give it a try, head over to chromeunboxed.com/Nord, N-O-R-D. Alrighty, welcome back, everyone. So I know we mentioned it on last week's show, but let's talk about some of the details of what we saw in Vegas. Is it NVIDIA? Did they say NVIDIA?
No, it's NVIDIA.
NVIDIA.
Yeah, NVIDIA. Yeah.
So at the NVIDIA booth, we got a tour, and they had separate rooms set up that was kind of interesting. Yep. And the first room that we went to, which was kind of our focus, was GeForce Now and cloud gaming. And they had some pretty cool demos in there. I can't remember if we talked about them last week, but let's run through them again because it was fascinating.
We did. We talked to Peter about them yesterday.
Yeah, and when we talked, I think we mentioned them real quick or something. But
I think we just said that Ultimate was available last week. I don't remember.
Yeah, and what's interesting is like they had three rooms. So we ended up going in room one as well. That was where they had like the crazy. If you watched our short videos, you saw some of this stuff, like the eye tracking, where
what did they put
fake eyeballs
on
you?
Maxine or something like that is what they're calling that.
But I just know you trip it out, like you put your finger over your eye and it kept your eyes
eye
on
tracking
top.
AI eye tracking is what
and
they're
so
calling.
The idea being if you were delivering something like a presentation, a lot of times you'll see people looking down because they're looking at one computer and then their camera's up here. Yeah.
But they're reading a script or looking at notes.
Yeah, they're trying to look at their slides and tell you what it is. And so this fakes that out, you know, makes their eyes look up. But they also had like the different codecs for AV1 encoding and stuff, showing like 4K video being encoded and streamed real time and how much better it looks, and using AI for when it's not good and all that stuff. That stuff was all neat. So that's room one, with some other creator stuff, like 3D canvas things.
Yeah, that stuff was really cool, but it's all beta and it, like
not our lane.
Not really in our lane at all. So it was like, that's neat. I don't even know what was in room two.
We didn't.
I think it was all GPU.
It was it was raw hardware stuff, and there was literally nothing in there.
It was basically a 4080 showcase of their new GPUs to show how powerful they are. But the cool part is for a company that. NVIDIA does a lot of stuff now, but for a company that makes their money on selling high-end GPUs, they're the kind of the name of the game. AMD wants to be them. You know, NVIDIA is the name when it comes to GPUs. Like, I don't know any AMD models of any GPU, but I know the latest. Granted, I've been shopping for golf simulator stuff, but you know, I know that like the 3080 is the last one that kind of came was top dog, and now we got a 4080, and so I actually know GPU numbers at least a little bit now, and we don't talk about that on Chrome Unboxed, and so you know, that's a big deal for them. Well, for them to have an entire room dedicated to cloud gaming tells me, and just listening to them talk about it and their team and the stuff that they're doing with it, this isn't like this is a cool little thing that we're doing.
Yeah,
which is what it felt like way back when the Shield TV came out. This was God, that might be 10 years ago.
Close to 10 years ago, probably.
Because it was before we started Chroma Box.
Yeah, that one's been floating around here for ever.
I remember what I wanted out of that thing was to run PUBG Mobile on it and use a keyboard and mouse.
Yeah.
Because we had it over at Joe's house.
You remember they had keyboard mapping for that?
Yep.
It was like a special setting. Anyway. So they've been at that. Like, when that came out, I wanted to just play Android games on it, but I remember there being streaming games on there, and I was like, whatever. And I tried a couple things. I was like, this is okay or whatever. This is, you know, I get, you know, if I'm going to stream it from my gaming computer in my house over my local network, maybe that's a thing. But to do this over the internet is just silly. And cloud gaming kind of just kept its head down and kept doing its thing. It kept moving. And for what it's worth, Stadia was a huge shot in the arm, I think, to the entire industry. I think Google coming out kind of guns blazing a little before it was ready, but making a real big stink about playing games in a web browser, because that was the thing that GeForce, or it wasn't GeForce Now back then, I think they just called it NVIDIA Cloud Gaming or I don't know, whatever, but it's been GeForce Now for a while. But when they were doing their thing, it was through an Android app, it was through, you know, their little box or whatever. I think Google coming out and being like, look, we've put stuff in place to make this work in a web browser. Like, now all of a sudden there's a flexibility here that you didn't have. And then just kind of going balls to the wall with their advertising, their marketing for Stadia. And it died and it didn't make it. But Stadia will always, I think, have this presence in this entire market for doing something that kind of made everybody else just wake up.
And that's what, I don't think Stadia gets enough credit for that, because do you remember signing up for the beta before Stadia, the word Stadia existed?
What was it called? Something Stream.
They had that one game.
It's when we were stuck in the damn airport.
I remember. I can't remember the name of it.
The Nightmare LaGuardia.
Yeah.
The 16 hours of LaGuardia.
What was it called?
I'm going to try to find it.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
It just had the word stream in it. Of some
Moonstream.
Anyway.
No, anyway.
Yes, it was just Assassin's Creed.
Yeah, I remember signing up for that and then getting the email saying, hey, it's live, and sitting here in the office and playing it, and like, this is insane. Because even then, it was like, this game plays really well through the browser.
Yeah.
Project Stream.
There you go. Streaming.
And not that there wasn't anyone else doing that at that time. There wasn't anyone else doing it well. There was
not in a browser.
No, that's true. Not in a browser.
That was
that's
the first
right.
one in a browser.
They revolution. And I guarantee you, NVIDIA saw this and thought that we need to get ahead of that. And they are the company that has the power to do it.
I'd love to talk with NVIDIA and talk with Google and see like what were some of these like pieces, because they've told us, but they've mentioned that there were some back-end things that happened with Stadia that did, you know, move the industry forward and allow for some of the stuff to happen. But I'd love to know, like, exactly what those pieces were.
And some of those things, like, when we sat in NVIDIA's booth, as they talked about some of these things, you're it like, real quickly went,
like, whoa, what are like, you, okay.
What are you talking about? Like, I don't understand enough about the hardware to understand fully right. what you mean. And I would assume the same thing would be true if you really got into the nitty-gritty with Stadia. But what Stadia did was come in and open up in the browser. So no download needed,
yep.
no install needed. Click to a URL and you are
playing a game
in the cloud. And they were, you know, all in on that, and it never quite caught on the way that they wanted it to. I feel like they didn't market that stuff well enough, and it wasn't ready to go at launch. They talked about it early. Remember the whole, like, your favorite gamer will just be able to put a link in there and you can just click in and join them or whatever. And like, that stuff was awesome, but it took too long to get to that point. And I think they underestimated some of the difficulties they would have at scale and yada yada. But all of that pushed NVIDIA to rethink GeForce Now. I remember writing articles about it when it was like, oh, they're not, because remember we were doing it, the Android app and side loading and all this crap to get it to work, and it was janky and it was laggy and it didn't work. And but it was like, it's kind of working. And then they were like, hey, remember that announcement? They had four hearts in the Google colors in a GeForce background. And it was like, oh my God, they're going to bring it to the browser. And then they did. And then we tried it and it was still kind of laggy and it wasn't great. All of that changed because Stadia showed up. And so they started doing that stuff and focusing on how they were going to deliver this thing in the browser. And now I would argue, I don't think I have to argue, like 100%, that's the focus. Like that's where NVIDIA's focus now.
Yeah.
The best version of GeForce Now is play.geforcenow.com. Like it is so good. And, you know, now you got 120 frames, you've got quad HD, you've got, and now all this new stuff that they're getting ready to do.
Yeah, with the upgrades, it's
takes
next
it to
level.
Another level.
4K, and it's like, 120.
And it's all in the browser.
Because there's the thing, is he said while we were in that booth, our goal is to show people that there are options for AAA gaming, and that it doesn't mean you have to go out and buy a $3,000 gaming computer. Right. I would argue that, especially if you're not wanting to invest in a ton of hardware and stuff and you're on the go or whatever, I would argue that GeForce Now is a better option.
Oh,
you buy, 100%. You go out and buy a three, that computer you have in there for the golf simulator, 5 years toasted. From now, it's going to be worthless.
Well, and it would get toasted right now playing the same
absolutely.
Exact game on GeForce Now.
Because who has the money to go out and buy a brand new 4080?
Right.
You know, just
every
disposable.
Few years.
Yeah.
You know, just games continue to build in complexity. You need something that's just going to scale along with it. Well, that means either just buying a new system or buy the next Xbox, buy the next PlayStation every time it comes out, or just monthly installments of this one thing that it's always up to date. It's always improving.
Yeah. How did they say they were getting latency down so low? I can't remember. Because remember, there was that the Reflex stuff?
Partly.
The Reflex always delivering the highest refresh rates, even if the device you're using doesn't use it.
Those are the main
which
two
that's
things.
Like so like for and we'll talk through exactly what you get with Ultimate, but that was the one question I think somebody had, and maybe even you, Robbie, had asked, was if I don't have a display that is 120, should I am I still going to get any
am
benefit
I wasting
here?
Am I wasting
like,
computing power
yeah,
like
you're still getting those frames quicker,
so it's
to
actually
you.
Beneficial
right. yeah, yeah, so it's rendering that stuff quicker on the back end, so that actually is reducing latency. So when you even you talk about a local system, you got the latency from the Bluetooth controller to the device you're using, whatever, or a mouse and keyboard.
Xbox, whatever.
There's latency inside of a computer system, too. You don't notice it, but it's there. Even inside of a closed system, there's a little bit of that latency. Then there's the latency of the processor processing the stuff and pushing it through HDMI to the screen. Then there's the latency of how fast your screen refreshes. And so all of those things, we're talking fractions of milliseconds, but they, you know, they stack up, and eventually you get what they measure as, was it pixel to touch?
Click to pixel.
Click
ratio.
To pixel. Yeah.
So pixel ratio. The button got clicked, or something happened
you
on
see
screen.
It on screen, yeah.
And it's very small. So minute, most people wouldn't be able to pick up on it.
I don't
anyway.
Know that any, I mean, this type of technology, I don't know that it'll ever be instantaneous, but this is pretty darn close. Because when was the last time you played a game on an Xbox and thought, man, oh, there's some latency
on that
here.
120 milliseconds.
120. That's what they measured. GeForce it. Now is 38.
38 on the this
in a
new.
Fully optimized scenario with great internet connectivity, right? Like, what were the internet? What was
we were
like?
In a hotel. I doubt very seriously the internet was that great.
I want to look. I'd have to look up the numbers, but I remember seeing doing the whole 4K because that's the thing. This new Ultimate, which is what. The 3080 tier is now just called Ultimate, and so right. It moves you. Eventually, it's going to move everybody up to a 4080. It's going to push the limit to 4K, 120, mm-hmm. or under 4K. I don't know if it's quad HD or if it's full. I think it's full HD
yeah.
at 240 frames per second if you have the hardware
so
to support
it. So then the base
it.
Tier will go away, and the current tier will become the base tier, the correct. 3060 or 80,
I think it's 3080.
Whatever it is. Yeah,
so I think that
which the, is already phenomenal. By
yeah.
the way,
I mean you know? Save you $10 a month, and honestly. It's great. Like, I don't, there's not that much needed there, but to be able to just, you know, remove that latency even further and have, you've got the computing power on the server side and these new pods are, that they're processing stuff in, these server racks, basically, that isn't going to have to, like, when I crank all the settings up in Fortnite, for instance, it's, you got to think it's got to render the game and do all the game stuff, but then it's also got to encode that game into, probably, I think they do AV1. Yeah. It's got to encode it and then send that message to me to be able to see it as a video, basically. What's if it's wasting processing power on the game itself, obviously that encoding process takes a hit. And so that becomes, you know, you get some latency there. With these new pods, I mean, these things are absolute monstrosities. I mean, that rendering the game, not really going to be that much of an issue for
right.
them. And so that means the encoding never has to skip a beat. And so everything moves along, but that's part of what their what was it called the sync thing the
refresh
re- not re-
reflex.
You,
reflex
reflex
yeah.
it, that's basically the 4080 and this gets into some technical jargon I don't fully understand being able to under like being able to render all of that stuff while making sure there's headroom for encoding and then making sure that everything lines up vertically in the stack to so that. It's encoding and it's rendering all the frames to match up with the thing it's sending it to. So in this case, it's not sending it to because I think this reflex thing works on the 4080 on a, right. just on a computer too. But it wants to make sure that as it's sending those frames, it's sending them in the right sequence so that it's being decoded on the other end
right.
in the right way, so that you're not losing. It's
wild.
It's mind-boggling
yeah, it's wild.
What they're doing. So, again, I go back to this statement that, yes, a company that is funded by the sale of GPUs, I'm telling you, they're not playing around with this.
Like, no, because, I mean,
they
you're
took
talking...
what Stadia did, and yeah. they're just like, they're going to another place with
that,
this right
they're
now.
Taking what would be their retail resources and dedicating them to this. I mean, yep. for every pod that they're creating, every
oh
server,
yeah.
how much retail loss is there?
It's you a know? Lot of money. Because
I'm sure the markup on those 4080s is substantial.
But yeah, I mean, they're going to be rolling. They started today, and it's like New York, San Jose, and somewhere in Germany.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense. I wonder if they took over a Stadia server in Germany.
Maybe.
That'd be awesome.
I mean, they could just go buy out at least the actual physical
facility,
locations
yeah.
and then just upgrade.
Yeah.
But, you know, over time, these pods are going to show up everywhere. And, you know, they've got a vast server network as well that they've been building over the last few years. And so, I mean, they're prime position to basically create a product finally that from a very low-end $200-$300 Chromebook that you'll be able to play AAA games without any issues
yeah.
at all. And the tide, I feel like, is moving so firmly with NVIDIA at this point that, you know, along with that announcement, they're like, oh, by the way, here's our games for this week. Like, they just keep adding games, like, every week. It's not a monthly thing. Every week. Now, granted, only one game in there had I ever even heard of.
Right.
I'm not yeah. a gamer.
Right.
I don't care. But at the same time, the more of that Steam library the more of Epic's library, the more of Ubisoft Now's library that I can sync and play in GeForce Now, eventually the pressure of that tide will push everything over. And so the Activisions of the world right. that go, no, we don't want our, you know, Call of Duty 17
yeah.
Modern Warfare 8 blow up.
Yeah. That's explosions. What everyone at Activision sounds like, by the way.
They're hoity-toity. You know, they're going to be mad that their Microsoft thing isn't going to go through.
Oh. Yeah.
But, you know, like there's these certain titles that you're like, why isn't this on here? Like, why isn't this available?
Yeah, it'll
happen
eventually. It's
silly. It's in Steam. Like, why isn't it on here? And it's all this licensing mumbo jumbo. But the force of that tide is eventually going to make it to where you can't not have it on there. Like, if you're going to have it on Steam, it needs to be allowed on GeForce Now. And I don't understand why that would be an issue whatsoever. Like,
I don't know.
For instance, if I logged into GeForce Now and I put my controller here and I'm sitting here playing a game while we're having a podcast and being super rude and, you know, shooting Fortnite up, and I go, oh, wait, just a second, and I go hide in a bush. And I go in there and get my Chromebook and hook everything up, log into GeForce Now, and start that instance in there. Guess what? This one turns off. I can only do it on one device at a time. And so I fail to see how that's any different than having a license for a game on a particular computer. I get that, you know, like, I can't share that because it's only on my computer or my Xbox or my PlayStation or whatever.
So is it because
I can't share it with you.
It's right. But if you make purchases, it's got to be a money driven thing. When you make purchases in Fortnite on mobile, does that go through the Play Store or does it go straight through?
It all goes straight through Epic. That's their whole loss.
That's probably the reason
but it wouldn't be Play Store.
But no, what I'm saying is the externals, the people that are serving up Fortnite, however, I don't know. I'm not sure. Maybe they want to get their cut of it, but maybe Epic's not willing to give a cut of...
Oh, no, Fortnite's fine.
Yeah, but I'm just saying games in general, not Fortnite specific. I'm saying ones that aren't being allowed. It's probably... a matter of financials.
If it's in Steam, though, that's what gets me. Download it on six computers.
From an actual licensing standpoint, is it just that when you spin up that game, it's on a different computer?
That's exactly what it is.
So they can't figure out a way right now to get through that. They'll have to eventually, I think.
Yeah,
but,
and that pressure continues to mount. Your game not being on GeForce Now is going to become a liability instead of it being like, we don't want our game on there. Like, if it's not, then you're going to lose out on a huge player base because more and more people are going to continue adopting this because it's a scalable model for gaming.
Well,
it makes so much more sense in so many ways.
Yeah, and we've talked about, what it would look like for students who... You know, these schools are getting more and more into e-gaming and e-sports. And, hey, you have all these Chromebooks. Well, rather than having to buy some, you know, gaming rigs to put in this room, you can just leverage these Chromebooks that you already have.
Just log in here, it's all done.
Cloud-based. And
yep. I mean, at CES, we're playing Fortnite in 1080p while live streaming it on a Chromebook that's going to cost less than $300 and is running a very low-end ARM chip.
MediaTek 520. Yeah,
I mean, not just esports, but all these schools that are you know, focusing on creation and YouTube and all that stuff. That's huge because they don't have to invest. I mean, $1,000-$2,000 per device.
Right.
I need this stuff to start working for golf simulator software.
It'll happen.
Amazing.
It'll happen eventually, one day. But yeah, I mean, you get these kids now who are used to that flexibility and the ease of being able to hop into games and the quality of gaming.
Yeah.
Right? They're not going to then want to go buy some gaming rig because, you know, at the booth tour, you were sitting and playing on a 3080 rig.
Yeah.
And then playing on GeForce Now.
Like a literal
3080. And you and the other guy were both like, I think this one's better.
Yeah, they had it hidden.
They pulled the side of the gaming rig and they were like, oh, this one's actually running on GeForce Now.
It was a Chromebook too, isn't it?
I think it was, yeah.
Or whatever. It might have been a Surface.
Yeah, they had Surface in those two.
Yeah, because they had a Surface. Surface
ran
running.
It like garbage. Yeah. Then they had it streaming on a Surface. Then they had a 3080 actual
gaming laptop. And everybody liked the cloud one better.
Was it a 3080 or was it a 40?
It was a 3080.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It was beefed out 3080, which is not a... I mean, it's not like, oh, well, that's kind of a trashy CPU. Until 3 months ago, it was the best thing you could buy.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, it's fascinating to me where it's going and how quickly it seems to be getting there. Like, I was afraid with Stadia and with GeForce Now, like, we had maybe hit the peak of what you could do streaming. Yeah. And it's like, this is never going to quite be what we want it to be. I'm like, nope, it's right there now. As long as your internet connection is decent.
Right.
And I want to say they said, like, you can do the, like, the quad HD, like 120 frames over, like, 15.
20 or 15, I thought is what they said.
Now, 4K 120 is probably going to push that up. I'm betting to, like, a 25 megs. But that's not even that fast.
I mean, we're getting to the point where, T-Mobile, I got an email from T-Mobile the other day. Their home internet light is 50 megs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's their, like, light version.
Yeah. So. And so, I mean, I don't want to act like everyone's got that kind of internet, because I don't.
No.
I mean, the United States is a massive country.
Yeah, there's a lot of people that...
In our country, that's just not the case. But in a lot of European countries,
you're getting...
That's not a problem.
Yeah.
Just, and a lot of places in the world, because it's more tightly and everybody's kind of more compact. Like, if that country has decent internet, they just have decent internet. I mean, the U.S. is sorely lacking in that.
And it's funny because a lot of people think it's the other way around. They think it's a financial thing where it's like, well, a lot of people can't afford high-speed internet. Like, no, high-speed internet is very affordable and available in most countries.
Just the infrastructure.
Like India, largest country population-wise in the world, most people have high-speed internet.
Yeah, and it's a landmass problem in the United States. Yeah. That's what it is. I mean,
running fiber out in the middle of Montana is not an easy thing to do.
It's difficult. We have a large country, like, land size-wise, so it becomes difficult.
We had a interview episode that we put out this week with Zach Alcorn from Google, who is working on Steam. In our chat, he was like, I know a lot of these games work because I played them all myself. He was like, 20 minutes of all these games is a very strange way to play video games, but I have tested them. And they're obviously making strides in expanding and improving Steam on Chrome OS. But do you all think long-term cloud gaming is the way that this will end up all shaking out? Or is there still a place for Steam?
I think Steam on Chromebooks will be one of those.
There's going to be people that will be excited about it, but it's not a mass market thing, maybe?
Yeah, I think maybe it could have been had it happened a little faster. I think the inroads that NVIDIA is making right now are probably going to be a thorn in the side of that whole effort, just in general.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Once it comes out, if it's like fully usable. And so we've yet to see that.
It's in beta quality right now in beta channel, right?
Yeah. I feel like beta quality is...
I don't know if beta quality is quite...
That's being pretty liberal.
It depends on what you're doing.
It depends on the game.
But it's...
And again, this is dependent on the device, too. Like, they're recommending 16 gigs of RAM.
But I agree with Robbie. I think the timing's a little off. Could have been sooner, but they have to get it ready, because if they'd launched a year ago and it was garbage, it would have...
Right.
Google's focus for Chrome OS right now is drawing the consumer masses. And the way you draw consumer masses is give people a reason to buy something.
Right.
Right.
Features mean nothing if the features don't have a benefit. So this is a bridge to gap to bring people off of Windows PCs who are Steam gamers.
Right.
That way they can get them on Chrome OS, and then they realize, hey, Chrome OS is a really great platform for other things too. Video editing,
that's
LumaFusion, this, that, whatever, GeForce Now. And I agree. I personally used to not think this, but I really feel like cloud gaming is going to become the future at some point. I think we will see the Xboxes and PlayStations of the world turn into... they're still going to make hardware. I think they're going to be NVIDIA Shields is what they're going to be. They're going to be cloud boxes.
Yeah. Personally. I mean, I think that could happen. Now, a lot of gamers would listen to this and be like, no way. But they probably also haven't tried GeForce Now
absolutely.
Recently. The improvement rate with what NVIDIA is doing
the last year
it's bonkers.
Our video that we made in here, one of our most popular videos on YouTube,
was
when they
just launched it
and so that was 2 years ago,
a year and a half ago
and look at what they're doing now.
It's working, and it was a novelty. It always was, and cloud gaming felt like a novelty. here lately, it's basically been since these the gaming Chromebooks have come out. Right. Like, that's what's caused me to be like, I'm going to give this a real try. And I'm shocked with how good it is.
Another hat tip to Stadia, too. I mean, like, my kids, we got them a Switch for Christmas because we'd been talking about it for a while. And then when the Stadia went under, we're like, let's go ahead and bite the bullet on that. My kids are still getting used to looking through the store and having to actually install games.
Right.
Update them. Have they had that yet?
Yeah, absolutely. Stuff like that.
They
got in the store and they click it and they expect it to start playing because my kids grew up on Stadia. How weird is that? My kids grew up on Stadia, but that's what they know.
I did an update on Apex on the PS4 a week ago, 2 weeks ago. I think 2 hours, something like that.
You had to buy 3 extra hard drives.
Yeah, no, it's 100. It was like close to 100 gigs.
If your kids get into Fortnite on the Switch, when those updates come,
we installed it.
My kids know, put it down.
When my nephew was over the other
day, just a different way of gaming.
He's big into Fortnite, and I was like, I'll put it on there, and you guys can play it. But my kids don't really play Fortnite, whatever. I had to delete like 5 other things to play it.
Yeah,
crazy.
It's just a different way of gaming. And I do think there's still, like you said, I think there's a place for Steam on Chrome OS, obviously. And the work that they've done there is awesome. Like, talking with Zach was a really interesting chat. Definitely go check out that conversation. But it's breaking down these barriers, you know, of, well, I can't do that on a Chromebook. Well, I would get a Chromebook, but I can't do that, you know? And at least having that option there for those who want, you know, a Chromebook and want to experience Chrome OS but are super into gaming, this will give them that option on
I think
Steam.
As long as the expectation is realistic,
right?
Like, come at it with the same expectation you would with buying a Windows laptop. Right. So if I go buy the nicest Chromebook right now, so the HP Dragonfly Pro Chromebook shows up, I get it, and it's 16 gigs of RAM, and it's Core i5, you know, and I'm like, ooh, this is so fast for a Chromebook. Well, if you buy that as a Windows laptop and said, this is my gaming laptop, you're laughed out of the room.
Right.
Like, you can do basic games, and maybe it's like medium level stuff or whatever. You can probably play Fortnite on like medium
settings. Yeah, because I mean, and that's the thing. As far as Intel has come and as powerful as the Xe graphics are, they are not a graphics card.
No.
It's like me saying, I can take my Versa. I can pull a small trailer with it, can I? Absolutely, I can.
Load it down, though. It's going to get real squirrely.
Is it going to destroy my car? Most probably. Yeah. It's not. Just because you can doesn't mean you should.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And I think, you know, if people approach it with that mentality, if people think about it that way, like if that was a Windows laptop and you went to buy it, what kind of gaming would you expect to be doing on that from Steam?
Sure.
Okay, we'll take that exact same thing, because even if they perfect this whole Steam container, they get it just... Everything's just
the same as running it on Windows.
It's still using the hardware on the device.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Like, you wouldn't go buy a Surface laptop to go play really hardcore games.
Right.
And that's what Steam for Chrome OS is for. In my eyes, it's for the casual gamer. I used to play Steam games a lot, and the older Source games, Portal, Sid Meier's Civ, stuff like that, they run fine on mediocre hardware. I'm not going to install. You know, I'm not going to go get into a competitive match of CSGO on a Chromebook.
And CSGO runs pretty well. I've already run it pretty well, but I've never gotten like Apex Legends to even install.
Right.
You know, it tries and then it fails and all that kind of stuff. And I'm like, it's so weird to say, but for those people, if you want to use a Chromebook and you want to, you know, go and play these types of games, well, guess what? You probably need to go use GeForce Now.
Yeah.
Which is crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, it's crazy to think that that's the case.
Yeah, it's great to have options. That's kind of this whole idea of breaking down barriers, giving people options for what they want to do in whatever they need to do to get their computing done. You can hopefully do it on a Chromebook. But I think that's it for this week. Appreciate you all tuning in and listening and watching. If you are watching over on YouTube, which you should be, go check it out. We filmed this stuff.
I know.
Yeah.
You never know what you're going to see.
You can watch us talk.
new plant every week.
It's riveting. It's riveting
content.
You can
watch and see whether or not we get real plants or fake plants.
You can tell if we're in a hurry or not because Paul's not.
My brain is. I'm
Paul's
I
looking pretty good though
straight.
Right now.
He is. He's.
We. He was left.
He's thriving in the other room. We didn't want to mess with him.
He was left, and while we were in Vegas,
we forgot to get a sitter for him.
We should have told Josh.
Well, and then we came back. It was 2 weeks, really, because you were out of town.
Yep.
And we don't think about that stuff.
Yeah.
So.
He was mistreated. sad. You should definitely watch. And if you like this content, give us a thumbs up. Go down there and click subscribe, and make sure to ring the notification bell down in the corner so that you get an alert when we put out future episodes like this weekly show or interview episodes that we do. But that's it for this week. We'll catch you all next time. See ya. Hey guys, thanks for tuning in. You can find show notes over at chromeunbox.com/podcast. And if you want to stay up to date with everything that's happening in the world of Chrome and Chrome OS, make sure to check out our website, chromeunbox.com, and follow us on social media by searching for @ChromeUnboxed. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you next time.